Morning. Welcome to 2023. Are you excited? Now, we have been blessed with rain. I see that as a good beginning. God is ready to pour into us from His Word. He's ready to equip us with what we need for the new year, because there will be challenges, and that will be good, because it will motivate us to press into God's presence. Well, we're going to be in the book of Ruth today, and Ruth has several lessons for us, I believe, that can inspire us. But you know what? I think it's going to be easy to read her story like a Cinderella story. There are amazing characters, strong, loving, God-fearing, but there's also the other characters, the opposite. We can learn from both of those. Now, the story, if you want to go on and start turning there, to Ruth 1. The story of Ruth opens in the land of down and out. Dreams have been dashed and lives have been lost. This is a place where no one, absolutely no one, wants to be there. But God is at work with His plan of redemption. Let's pray first before we go into the Word. God, we thank You so much for the rain. I thank You, Lord, for each family represented here. Lord, we pray Your blessings, Your shalom, Your peace, Your fullness, God. Holy God, would You come and teach us from Your Word, which is sacred, the words of Your mouth, God. Would You press them upon our hearts in a way that we can understand individually what You want our faith to look like. Next steps, God, perhaps steps that are a little risky for some of us, but steps that are fully within Your will and that You are ready to bless. And God's church said, amen. Okay, so for the setting of Ruth, we actually pick up in the last verse of Judges. So if you just turn one page back or turn on your phone app to the last verse in Judges. In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Wow, truth is relative. They are the knowers. We are the knowers. I do what I think is right. You do what you think is right. Moral autonomy. We don't need God. And we even have our own grace system. Does it sound familiar at all? Maybe a little bit. Well, let's go to Ruth and start reading in the first few verses. Ruth 1:1. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. This is in Bethlehem, which is the land of bread. A man comes from Bethlehem in Judah, leaves his home there, and moves his family to Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. Now, the man's name, Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi, and they had two sons. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Well, Elimelech, his name is My God is King. So My God is King moves his family to Moab. Now, the original readers of the text knew all the drama associated with Moab and the pagan worship. No one moves their family to Moab to be closer to God. But this is what he did. And then in verse 3, we see that he passes. Naomi is left with her two sons. And the two sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But then 10 years later, these husbands die also. And Naomi is left alone without her two sons or her husband. But Naomi hears that God has blessed Bethlehem, the land of bread. And so she gathers her daughters-in-law and she said, let's go. Let's pack up our things and let's get on the road. We're going back home. Well, when she's on the road, she's thinking, you know, you have that extra time to contemplate. What am I doing? I'm taking my daughters, which are Moabites, and widows to Israel. Israelites, Moabites. Not the best of friends. Maybe she's having second thoughts. And so she urges them to go back. She says, go back to your people. Go back to your God. And so Orpah actually does go back. But first she blesses them in verse 8. She says, go back to your mother's homes and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and me. May he bless you with the security of another marriage. Because you know what? Nothing is worse than being a widow. You're either ignored or taken advantage of. So it's sensible that they would go back to their hometown and find a husband. Well, she says this word, kindness. You have shown your kindness to me. That's the word hesed in Hebrew. It means devotion. It means kindness, extreme kindness. Well, Orpah does go back, but Ruth will not, even though even though Naomi is bitter. Because let's look at the last part of verse 13. Naomi says, things are far more bitter for me than for you because the Lord has raised his fist against me. Okay. So again, Orpah goes back. That convinces her. That's the sensible thing to do. But for Ruth, she's at a crossroads, at a fork in the road. Have you ever felt that way? I can go this way or I can go that way. What is my destiny? Where is God calling me? But she doesn't have a personal faith yet. But she has seen Naomi's faith. And so she says to her, Naomi, don't ask me to leave you. Wherever you go, Naomi, I will go. Wherever you live, Naomi, I will live. Your people, Naomi, will be my people, and your God, Naomi, will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and I will be buried. And may the Lord punish me ever so severely if I do not honor my promise to you. So the two women continue on their journey. Now, this is a risk. Because Ruth is going to a land where she may be ostracized, where she may be an outcast. But her love for Naomi is greater than her care for how she will be treated. And so in 19, the two of them continue on their journey and they arrive. And what happens? There's a stir in town. People are saying, can this be Naomi? Does this look like Naomi who used to live here? No, because grief has changed her. Grief changes sometimes the way we look, the way we perceive things. And so they go into town, and what does she say? The Lord has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but I have come home empty. Why call me Naomi? That's not my name anymore, people, because Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara because I am bitter. The Almighty has caused me to suffer and has sent tragedy upon me. She's not holding anything back, is she? You know, good for her. She doesn't say glory to God for all things. She doesn't post on social media hashtag blessed. Right? She's telling it like it is. And I appreciate that. And where is she having this conversation? In her community, among people who know her. We need our community in times of loss. We need one another. We also need that time with God to process. And she's probably saying, God, why could you let this happen? Have you ever said that? God, why did you let this happen? What good can come from this situation? Tragedy can change how we see things, how we see God, how we experience God. And we can have a crisis of faith. But you know what? That's okay because God can work in that. He will work in that. But the question is, will we allow him to work through our anger and our bitterness and our disappointment? You know, I'm sure Ruth had questions for God, but she is acting on the faith that she has gleaned from her mother-in-law, Naomi. It's not her faith yet, but it will be. And then these women, they arrive in Bethlehem during the barley harvest. That in itself is a symbol of hope. And Ruth doesn't waste any time. She shows initiative. She says, let me go out into the field and pick up some stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. And Naomi says, okay, all right. And that is in chapter 2. Well, I used to be, and still am, I guess, a wheat farmer's daughter. And I can tell you that working in the field is dusty work, right? And I had a tractor, but my first tractor did not have a cab, did not have air conditioning. It had a radio. But you go out in the morning, I had this little umbrella from, you know, a little sun shield, and you come home at night, you're covered in dust. The wind is blowing. You get dust in your nose, dust in your mouth, dust in your hair. Now, it's not the most pleasant of situations, but how I really relate to Ruth is one day I had this crazy notion. I had to go out into the field and pull weeds. Do not ask me why, because my dad did. He said, why do you want to do this, Serena? I said, I don't know. I just want to, because my dad didn't like weeds in the field. So I go out, take the three-wheeler, and some of those weeds were, you know, as big as me. And pull. I was probably out there 2 hours. That was all I could hack. And I was in good shape. I was on the basketball team. I was on the tennis team. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm doing really good here. But 2 hours was all I could take. But the next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. I was so sore. Well, Ruth is out there in the field, and she's bundling these stalks of grain and piling them up. And then she has to beat the grain out of the stalks. So it is hard work. But you know what? Faith in action works hard and relies on God. She is relying on God. She's putting one foot in front of the other, even though she does not know what turn her life will take. She's taking a faith risk. Well, it just so happens in chapter 2, verse 3, that she is working in a field that belongs to Boaz, which is a relative of her father-in-law, but she does not know this. Well, let's do a ring check. Is Boaz married? Well, he's wealthy. He's an influential bachelor and a godly man. But what do you think Ruth looks like right now? Yeah, she's probably got a little dust on her. She's not wearing any makeup. She has on a peasant dress, probably, because it's the only one she has. It's a little tattered. She's very warm. She's been working all day. Boaz walks onto the field, surveying the progress of all his workers. And Ruth, at that moment, you know, she's been bending over, picking up stalks of grain, wipes the hair, or what? Her hair out of her face, the sweat. And he sees her. Who is this woman? Who does she belong to? And his foreman says, well, she's the young Moabite woman that came back with Naomi. And she asked if she could gather grain this morning. And she's been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes of rest in the shelter. This shows her work ethic. Well, Boaz does not waste any time. He runs right over there to her and says, Ruth, don't go anywhere else. You can work in these fields. Stay behind my women. You'll be safe. Don't go to any other fields. Because you know what? It wasn't safe in any other field. He says, I've warned the men not to treat you roughly. When you're thirsty, help yourself to water from the well. Well, Ruth doesn't know what to think. Why is he being so nice to me? I'm not from here. What should I expect? Does he want a favor? Who is he? He says, and so she says that. Why are you being so kind to me? I'm a foreigner. I'm a Moabite. And what does Boaz say in verse 11? Yes, I know. But I also know about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Her faith and actions have preceded her. Her faith and action. I've heard how you left your father and mother in your own land to live here among complete strangers. Have you done that before? Have you left your home state or hometown to move to a completely different place? No. It takes faith, does it not? Well, her actions are bearing witness to her faith, just as ours does too. People see what we do. People note what we say. They're always watching and they notice strength and ingenuity. But are we depending on our own, or are we depending on God's strength? Because they will notice that as well. We need God. We need something beyond ourselves. So Ruth has made Naomi's people her people, and her actions are revealing her faith and what she believes about God, what she's learning to believe about God through Naomi. So what do your actions declare about your faith? Are you taking next steps? Do you have next steps ready in 2023 to take? Are you going to join a team? Are you going to be consistent in worship? Yeah, worship is fun. Do you ever exercise to worship? Do you know you can do that? That is my energizer. If I miss worship, in fact, I said that the other day, you know, I was playing with my grandkids, but I was like, and that's fantastic. I need worship. Why? Because God has made us to worship, to elevate his name. And it sounded so beautiful a while ago as I was listening to it. So God wants us to be serious about our faith, serious about taking faith risks. But you know what? Sometimes we want to wait for the blessing, don't we? Am I the only one like that? We want to wait for the blessing. God, I don't have enough confidence. If you bless me with just a little more confidence, God, if you give me this, if you give me a new car, then I can drive to this new job in the next town over. Oh, but what does God want? He wants your heart to be only for him, to trust and to rely on him, just like Ruth is. We can still ask questions. God doesn't mind that, but he wants us to trust him. Ruth has made a commitment to God. She went to that field knowing no one, and God is blessing her with productivity. And I believe that also is an outgrowth of our faithfulness to God. She needs God's favor and protection, and he is giving it to her. And we see this in verse 12. Boaz welcomes her, but he also blesses her. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done, Ruth. He prays a blessing over her. And then he completely does something that is countercultural. He flips the script and invites her to share a meal. This girl is probably pretty hungry. She could have come hungry that morning. He says, come and have some bread. Dip it in the balsamic. We're going to have some roasted grain. He places her in a position of honor and respect. You know what? In this culture, a Moabite woman would have been serving a Hebrew man, but not Boaz. Boaz has this hesed kindness, this devotion to God, and he's experienced it from God, and now he is giving it to Ruth. And he also knew that Ruth would then go and bless her mother-in-law. And that's exactly what she does. At the end of the day, she has 25 pounds of grain that she carries back into town with her. And also maybe the roasted grain from her lunch. Maybe she stuffed some in her pockets. You know, she didn't know when she was going to eat again. And she takes all that home. Well, you can imagine what Naomi says. Where have you been? Who did you meet? What happened? And so she tells her the whole story. And Naomi says, well, Boaz is a family redeemer. A family redeemer. Well, what is a family redeemer? It's the person who takes responsibility for the family of the deceased. We see this in the Levitical law in Deuteronomy 25. The nearest relative marries a widow to redeem the family name and the family inheritance. And Elimelech had land in Bethlehem. But if the family redeemer doesn't come and marry into the family, then this land and the name will vanish. Well, we can kind of see that Naomi is moving out of her bitterness into this loving, meddling mother-in-law. Oh, we have some people who can relate to that. That's okay, because it's all about love, right? We want what's best for our daughters and sons. She has moved into the happy meddling matchmaker, and she has hope, a hopeful plan. And in chapter 3, she says, Ruth, I believe it's time that you find a permanent home so you can be provided for. Now, Boaz is a close relative, and he's been very kind to you. Now, Ruth, this is very important. I know that he is going to be winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. Ruth, wash off all that dust. Go take a bath, girl. Put on some perfume, some Coco Chanel, some Marc Jacobs Daisy, something. Put on a new dress and please comb that hair. She has to dress to impress, right? And then she gives the best advice of all. Do not let him see you until he's finished drinking and eating, right? Wise advice from an older woman. Don't have any important conversations with your son, your husband, with your daughter, with your mother until they've eaten. You know, we don't want to talk to people who are hangry. It will not go well. Gives her good advice. And then she says in verse 4, be sure to notice where he lies down and go and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And we're thinking, what is this? What is this? Is this promiscuous? What's happening? And Ruth says, what? I'll do exactly what you say. Well, this was the cultural practice. What she's doing is letting him know that he is the kinsman redeemer, and she is okay with that. She's inviting him to accept that responsibility. So each faith action that we see in this book of Ruth is answered by God's faithful provision. Can you wrap your mind around that? Each time we step out by faith, God has a provision for you. It could be energy. Does anybody want energy? I do. I do. My blessed 4 grandchildren have been here this week. I need energy. 2 weeks. And I am so excited. Today we are going on a trip because the sun is shining. Hallelujah. God will bless us. It's up to him how he chooses to do that. But he is Jehovah Jireh, the faithful provider. So we see that she does exactly what her mother-in-law tells her to do. And she goes to Boaz. She waits till he's finished eating and he goes to sleep. Well, what happens? At midnight, he suddenly wakes up. Who are you? Who are you? And she says, well, I am your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your covering over me because you are my family redeemer. And in verse 10, Boaz says, well, the Lord bless you, my daughter. You haven't gone after those younger men, those men who are richer than I. And he says, don't worry about a thing, daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows you are a virtuous woman. Her faith action has gone before her. And he says, it's true that I'm one of your family redeemers, but there is another man closer in relation to Elimelech than myself. And so he says, I need to go talk to this man, but don't worry, don't worry. And he sends her back with grain, but she does spend the rest of the night there. And then early in the morning, she returns to Naomi. And isn't this great? In verse 18, we have the wise woman. Naomi says, just be patient, my daughter, until we hear what happens, because this man Boaz is not going to rest until he has settled things today. All right, so Boaz is a very godly man and a very wise man. And in chapter 4, we see that he goes to the town gate to talk to the elders there. And he finds the family redeemer because this is where people do business, where the men do business every day. And note that this man is not named. His name's not even in the word. He had never checked on Naomi and Ruth, and he was the closest relative. But here is Boaz coming to him to negotiate. And he said, you know, I just thought that you might want to know that you can redeem this land owned by our brother Elimelech. If you want it, buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. He has 10 witnesses there. But if you don't want it, let me know right away because I'm next in line to redeem it. And the man says, wow, this sounds like a good deal. Yes, I will redeem it. But then Boaz says, you will need to marry the Moabite Ruth. And the man jumps back and says, whoa, wait a minute. That could jeopardize my inheritance. He doesn't go into any detail, but he says, no, you go ahead. You can do this. And so in front of all the elders, Boaz says, I am the family redeemer, and I will redeem the land, and I will marry Ruth. And notice there is another blessing. I love this theme of blessing that weaves throughout this book. People keep blessing one another. Isn't that a practice that we can do? Blessing one another with this hesed kindness. Hesed kindness. And so he says in front of everyone, I have acquired Ruth the Moabite today to be my wife, so she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property. You are all witnesses today. And then the elders stand up and say, may this woman, Ruth, be blessed like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. What has just happened? We have Ruth, who came from a pagan land to Bethlehem, and now she's being blessed like the mothers, Rachel and Leah, from whom the 12 tribes of Israel came. How did that happen? How did that happen? It was God's working through faith. They had to take one step at a time, Ruth and Naomi. They did not know what was going to happen. One woman's faith changed her destiny, the destiny of her family. Our decisions affect not only ourselves, but generations to come, and certainly our own children. And then what happens to Naomi in verse 15? Naomi, your daughter-in-law who loves you has borne a son. Oh, but remember, Ruth could not get pregnant before. She was married for 10 years. She had no children. Maybe on their wedding night, she conceives and has baby Obed. And then baby Obed has Jesse. And then Jesse is the father of David, King David. And then in Matthew, Ruth is mentioned in the lineage of Christ. Jesus Christ. Only God can do that. Only God. One woman's faith changed her destiny, the destiny of her family and history. Our faith unlocks our destiny. And what is destiny exactly? It is your unique calling to glorify God and to advance His kingdom. To glorify God and advance His kingdom, using your gifts, your time, your energy, your finances. Well, we had some faith experiences. Oh, they're ongoing, right? But when we started moving west, we were in our 40s. We were in Oklahoma. You know, we had a great family there. All our family was there. Within an hour, basically. But we had this stirring in our hearts, this little nudge from God. It's like there's more. There's more that we're supposed to be praying for. And I remember sitting on our little plaid couch that we've had, just till a few years ago, actually. I hated to get rid of that thing because it was just so precious, the memories of it, praying on that plaid couch. And we would pray, God, please take us to the place where we can be most effective for you. Most effective. So Bryn had different interviews around the country, and it was going to be at one point between Texas, and then it was Arizona. So we ended up moving to Arizona. God made it pretty clear. We were supposed to be in Tucson, and it was there that we found out about the Covenant Church, and we found out about church planting. And we grew in our faith tremendously and in ministry. Well, after we were there for 7 years, we had this stirring again and a nudge from God. And He told us through other people there were going to be two church plants, one in Modesto and one in LA. Again, we prayed, God, please move us to where we can be the most effective for you. Well, You know the story. He made it very clear it was Modesto is where we were supposed to live. And we waited a couple of years for the church plant, and we had a great time at MCC and grew in our faith there as well. But you know what happened? We moved here, and our house deal fell through back in Tucson. So now we had two mortgages. That wasn't fun. But God helped us navigate that. We didn't say, you know what? We weren't supposed to move here. No, we never said that because we knew we were supposed to be here. God himself had planted it in our heart. There was absolutely no doubt. And as we took one step, put one foot in front of the other, God paved the way. We rented out that house for several years and it paid for itself. Then we had to do some renovations, and in God's perfect timing, it sold. Hallelujah. He went before us every step, but we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know his plan. Faith in action paves your destiny. When you take a step of faith, God will move out and answer you, not because of anything we deserve or have earned, that it is his kindness to us. For Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you are saved through faith. This is not from ourselves. It's a gift from God so that we can't boast. But we boast in who? We boast. And let's do that again. We boast in who? Thank you. Hallelujah. We boast in God. Let's give him the glory. Well, maybe you've had some bitter disappointment in your life like Naomi and Ruth. Maybe you've experienced a crisis or a disappointment or a loss. Maybe you feel far from God. Don't give up. You have a kinsman redeemer. You have a Boaz, better than Boaz, Jesus Christ. He is your kinsman redeemer, not only to redeem your sin, but to shelter you under the refuge of his wings. Now, maybe your life right now is more like chapter 4 of Ruth. Life has been hard, but you're in a good season. Well, recognize it's not your religion or your rightness, but it's God's righteousness that has brought you to this point. You have been redeemed, and now we can all be part of blessing others with this hesed loving kindness, turning others to Jesus, because that's how Ruth came to where she was to be in the lineage of Christ. Naomi's faith influenced her. You are influencing people with your faith. With your faith. When we claim and declare that God is our God, that we are his people, and we will go wherever he will go, nothing can separate us from him. Nothing. Faith paves your destiny. And your action, your faith action, is changing someone else's destiny. What is your next faith step? What will it be? Faith step in your family, your neighborhood, inviting people. God's going before you. Let's pray. Holy God, you are so good to us. We are so thankful. But Lord, we want more of you. And you have told us to seek you and more for what you can work in our lives. God, would you rain down on us like you did last night through the power of your Spirit, God, we receive. And we prepare our hearts, Lord, for communion. Sacred communion. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.